How many of you are thankful for the cross? Amen. How many of you are thankful that he came out of the tomb? Amen. Just very, very thankful. He meets our greatest need. Well, today is Easter, and of course, you know, there'll be a lot of pictures. There's going to be some Easter egg hunting going on, I'm sure, chocolate bunnies and all that. And I've got a bunny story for you. This past Monday, all of you that are lucky enough to have been parents and had children, the moms and dads understand what I'm about to say. There's a point where you get to where, honey, it's your turn with him this morning, or you start sharing the load. Well, we do that with our two Rhodesians now. All of our kids are grown. We don't have to go and wake them up in the morning and stuff like that. But we have these two dogs, Rhodesians, and it was Lori's turn to be up with them to feed them at 5 a.m. And so Lori got up, fed the dogs. I was in bed sleeping. At about 7 o'clock, I hear Lori start yelling at Bear. He's our youngest one. She's like, Bear, Bear. And she's yelling. She goes, oh, my gosh. And I can hear her screaming, and the back door slams, and she's out in the backyard yelling at him. And all of a sudden, I hear Lori come in the house, and she's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my. She's downstairs, and I'm trying to get out of bed. I'm putting on my shorts, and she's like, oh, my gosh, Matt. And I meet her in the hallway. She goes, Matt, I don't know what was in his mouth. She goes, I thought it was grass. He was throwing it around, playing with it, and all that. And I went out there, Matt, I don't know what it was, and he keeps trying to get it. I said, all right, let me go out there. You know, so I'm wiping stuff from my eyes, and I walk out to the middle of my yard, and, guys, there was a little brown bunny. And my dog was having the time of his life with it. It was dead. It was gone. And I put him in a bag, made sure he had a, you know, anyway, that's my bunny story this morning, you guys. Your lives changed today with that, you know what I mean? But, listen, are you thankful that Easter is a lot more than just an Easter egg hunt? Amen? It's more than just having a good meal together. Our God made a deliberate decision to send his son, Jesus, to us. And Jesus made a deliberate decision to die for our sins, to come out of the grave alive so that we could spend eternity with him, with his Father, and with his Holy Spirit. So today I want to talk to you briefly on the subject of the deliberate decision to live. The deliberate decision to live. My text comes out of Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. If you have your phones, but it's going to come up for the screen. And it starts at verse 1. It says this. Very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Jesus' mother Mary. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside, a 2-ton stone. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty, and the body of Jesus was gone, and they stood there stunned and perplexed. And suddenly two men appeared above them in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, "Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? He is not here, for he is risen. Have you forgotten what he said to you while he was still in Galilee? The destiny of the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to a cross, and on the third day, rise again." Can you give me a praise God for God's word this morning? Amen. The part that I want us to pay attention to is what we just read, where the angel asks them this question, why would you look for the living one in a tomb? The NIV actually says it this way, why would you look for the living one among the dead? And the NLT, it says, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I want you to know that in my personal life, I have decided what I actually believe about Jesus. And I believe this, that every disciple, and I'm not talking about his 12, I'm talking about us in this room that believe in Christ. Every disciple has to make a decision. They have to decide about who they think Jesus is. And this is what I believe, that decisions determine our direction. If Jesus really did resurrect from the grave, church, that is really good news. But if he did not, then we are all wasting our time. If Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, his birth, his life, his ministry, his blood, and his death means absolutely nothing. Paul addresses this. He addresses this in 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Look what he says. And if Christ has not been raised, all our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. Verse 17 says it this way, and if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sin, and your faith is a fantasy. But if he did, by the end of today's message, all of us will have the opportunity to choose and decide if it is true that Jesus came to us in the form of a baby, a human, that he lived 33 years on this earth as the Son of Man and Son of God, that he was crucified, that he was buried and put into a tomb, and on the third day he was resurrected, and that he is alive. We all have to decide what we believe for ourselves. Is this true? Do I believe this to be true? Well, there's some things that we need to talk about first. And the first is found in Romans 6:23, where the writer says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," what's it say? "Is eternal life, and is found in Christ Jesus." That we would all make a deliberate decision for Jesus and choose to live. The scripture speaks of sin, but it also speaks of eternal life, that we are all born into sin, every one of us. It doesn't matter how or where you were born. I don't care who your parents are or what street you grew up on. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated or what your job is or what your title is. We all have the same starting point. Romans 3:23, that same writer writes, "For all," everybody say all, "for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You know, I love getting into the Greek and Hebrew and Scripture, and I looked up the word all, and I'm about to blow your mind with what this means in the Greek. You know what all means in the Greek? All. Come on, church. Did y'all just have your minds blown? Come on. All. All things, every, all men, all women, whosoever, everyone, all manner of, everything, any, whatsoever, individually, anything, collectively, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 addresses sin, and I want to make sure I say this to everybody. And I say this in no judgment. I say this for somebody that's struggling right now, but I want you to understand something. Sin has a payment plan. You might be lucking out right now with not having to pay right now, but I can promise you, because it's biblically true and we found it to be true, sin has a payment plan. It has its own set of rewards. Sin has an outcome. And what the writer said is that outcome and that payment and that reward is death. All of us have been born of a woman. Can I pastor this just for a second? Give me 1 second here. We were not born of a man or a woman that thinks she's a man or a man that thinks he's a woman. All of us were born of a woman and are headed in the direction of destruction unless we change our hearts. But praise God for Jesus. Praise the Lord for Easter. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the opportunity to make a deliberate decision to live and to not die, to be set free, to no longer be in bondage, that our God can change our direction right here, right now. Come on, Harvest. If somebody believes this, give him some praise. Praise God. See, God has always had a rescue plan. He has always wanted us to choose his ways above our own. That God has always wanted to interrupt our story with his. That we could choose to repent and avoid a life of regret. You know, I talk about this all the time, how the Old Testament points to the new and the new points to the old. And no matter what book of the Bible that you go through, you're always going to find somewhere in a passage where God is pleading with us to choose him. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20, it says this. God is speaking, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." We get to choose. That's the beauty of this. This is our choice. We get to do this. The deliberate decision to live, and I have my first thought. My first thought is this, and it's actually just a charge to all of us. Choose life. Amen? Choose life. Choose to live. John 14:6, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." When I was in ninth grade, I met a new friend. His name was Brian Moore. He was in eighth grade. He had just moved to the community, and we were playing football one summer down at the clubhouse area, and he was on another team, and he was actually picking on my brother, and I had to go over to him and tell him to knock it off, you know, or I was going to box his ears. But he goes, sorry, man, I didn't know that was your brother, and we ended up being really good friends. Well, that summer, we both grew 6 inches. I went from 5'6" to 6 foot in like three months, and he did the same, and we played ball together, played basketball, and we connected in sports. And I moved away for 1 year, came back my junior year, and we both ended up at the same high school in Arkansas again and became fast friends again. And not only in sports did we connect, but we also connected in music. I was 2 or 3 years into playing guitar at that time, and we decided, you know, at that in 1983, I don't know how many of you are going to remember this, but Quiet Riot put out an album called Mental Health. And Bang Your Head, you know, that song. Anyway, we decided to do a couple songs. You guys, check this out. This is us in the summer. There I am on the left over there. Check out those parachute pants, you guys. Come on, man. And, you know, I'm on top of Brian. Brian Moore is the one in the middle. I'm on his shoulders right there. And I've got my buddy Mark and Troy Reddick on bass. And, you guys, we did our best. You know what I'm saying? And I thought it sounded amazing. You know what I'm saying? But here's what happened. When that night was over, Brian and I remember us talking about it. This is what we wanted. You know, we wanted to pursue that whole idea of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll or whatever that was. We wanted whatever the world could offer without kind of saying it that way. It's just what we wanted. And so later that year, I moved to Texas, lost touch with Brian for over 20 years. And in 2008, I got back on Facebook. I got on Facebook. And like a lot of you, when you get on Facebook, that's where you reunite with people. And I found Brian and come to find out, now check this out, not only have I found him and found that he's doing okay, but he's pastoring a church in Benton, Arkansas called Highland Heights Baptist Church. So on my 25th high school reunion in 2009, I flew to Arkansas to go to that, and then I went and saw Brian, and he's showing me his church. He's, you know, we're catching up. We go into his office. And he goes, hey, dude, let me show you something. And he opens up his Bible, and he throws his picture across his desk, and it was that picture right there in the middle. And he goes, bro, he goes, every day when I read my word, I look at that picture, and I thank God, because here's what he told me. He walked me through his life. He said after I moved, he became an alcoholic, that he started smoking a lot of weed, which opened, it was a gateway to all the other drugs he started doing, and he ended up becoming a meth head and OD'd twice. And he said it was after the second time, and I'll never forget this because it gets me in my heart. Because he looks at me and he says, Matt, he goes, I had to decide for myself that I wanted to live. And I'm sitting there, man, and I'm looking at him. We both have tears in our eyes because God brought us through some crazy stuff to bring us both to be in a place where we're pastoring churches. You guys, check this out. This is because he decided to live. Look at his beautiful family. And there he is preaching in the bottom right. And up on top, that's during COVID. He preached on the roof of his church while everybody was in their cars. And so, guys, listen, the testimony and the miracle to this is that it took a deliberate decision from my buddy Brian to say, I want to live. Is everybody with me? And so, guys, it's your decision that you and I have a free will. We have the freedom to make this deliberate decision. Nobody has the right to take or steal your right to make your own decision regarding your eternity, to make a decision for Christ, to live or to die. Can I say this? And everybody look at my mouth when I say this. You have not been called to die. You have been called to live. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because his light exposes us to his truth and his purity. That he gives us the power to understand the most important desire that we should have, and that is to live. John 10:10, Jesus says this, I came, he says, my purpose, so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. I know you probably already know this, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page in this. When we are living our lives, there are people called armchair quarterbacks. And they love to tell you how to live your life. And in our communities, in our families, in our workspaces, we have people that are accusers. And they will spend their entire lives blaming others for how their life is going. You have excusers. They make excuses for why they're not living out their dreams. Well, Galatians approaches this and addresses this in 6:5. It says, "For we are each responsible for our own conduct." It means that you, no matter what anybody else says about you, you have to choose. In fact, in the NIV, it says, it's up to you to carry your own load or to assume your own responsibility. So you have accusers, you have excusers, but then we can be choosers. Choosers to take responsibility for our choices and the directions of our lives. Choosers will do whatever it takes to live. You know, Lori and I have been married for 35 years, and I can still remember the day that after our dating that we chose each other. We became engaged. We chose each other to be married. And here's my wife, in case you don't know who I'm talking about. Look how happy she is that I chose her. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Man, I don't know how that got up there. But hey, I was happy myself. I'm just playing around. But guys, listen, here's the fact. I chose her, she chose me, but it was when we went into our marriage, the one thing that we definitely put up front was that we chose Christ first. He was the head of our house. And let me tell you something, Lori and I, in 35 years, have gone through some pretty tough times, and if it wouldn't have been for Jesus, is everybody with me? We had to choose to live and not die. To live, church, to live out the rest of your days knowing that he will keep his promises. We have not been called to live out the rest of our days in sin. We have been called to walk in righteousness and to live a holy life. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. That we are not called to walk the rest of our days in darkness, but that he has given us his path. And it's a path of light and life. That there's no confusion, only truth. And there is a truth regarding the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, think about this real quickly. The cross was a time that Jesus would be crucified, of course, but that he would be humiliated for our sin. 3 days in the tomb, and then when he comes out of the tomb resurrected, he goes from the time of humiliation to a time of exaltation. Amen? So he goes from a place of death to a place of life, of conquering death. And guys, here's the thing is we believe, this is what you have to believe. Remember, we're talking about deciding. You have to believe that at that time, not only was he the Son of God, but he was also fully the Son of Man. He was not a demigod. He wasn't a half-half. He was literally all God and all man at the same time. The Son of God, the Son of Man, and we all have to believe this. I don't know what it is about even those who don't believe or follow, like go to church or have a life with Christ. It's easy for them to believe that Jesus came as a baby. They love seeing the nativity scenes. They love Christmas. They love the whole idea about that. But when it comes to the cross, when it comes to the tomb and his return, it's a completely different story, which leads me to my second thought. You have to decide for yourself. You got to choose life, and you've got to decide for yourself to make a deliberate choice of what you believe. Philippians 2, starting with verse 5, it says this, in your relationships with one another, have the mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, there are those, and you probably know some, I know some, that will spend and have spent their entire life trying to prove that there is no God. And can I just say this? That is a dangerous way of thinking. It's a dangerous actual language to even speak from your mouth. Because listen, some will, you know, let's just say this. Some will say, if I can see him with my own eyes, then I'll believe. God, you put some money in my bank account, then I'll definitely believe you. You might have somebody that says that if I can witness a healing or a miracle in this life or in my situation, then I'll believe. Let me tell you something. I have people right now, even in my own family, that I know and they know they've experienced a miracle and they still don't believe him. So miracles, that's not what's going to do it. Here's what we know about Jesus was that when he was resurrected, he made himself appear to a lot of people. And we're not talking about a group in a small group of two or three or just to his 11. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus came out of the tomb, he was seen by over 500 people. 500. And his resurrection, and listen, when you think about the crucifixion, when he died on the cross and he said, it is finished, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and it says that the earthquake and the power of that death was so great that it busted the tops of the tombs or busted rock of the tombs that people were in. So here we are now, Jesus is resurrected in resurrection power, and it was such a strong resurrection that it caused people to come out of those graves and went home and were saying hello to their families. So this resurrection, it was not just for a few. There was a lot of people that knew that this happened. Look at this in Matthew 28, 17. Jesus has gone to Galilee, and he's in front of many people. And it says that they saw him, they worshiped him. What does it say? But some doubted. Think. Listen, don't just take that as a, listen. They see him. They see him, and some still doubted. Many had just witnessed Jesus ascend into heaven, an incredible sign, an incredible wonder, and we know that there were still some that doubted. He, even with his 11, with the disciples, with this interaction with Thomas, John 20, 29, Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you have seen me, you believe, but there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but they have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more. Church, let me say this. Life is too short to waste time trying to prove if God exists or not. That's us trying to stay in control. That's you and I trying to keep control. Decide for yourself. Don't worry about who's to your left or to your right, your mom or dad. Decide for yourself, what do you believe about Jesus? My grandfather, Grandpa Stewart, he was the last of my grandparents that were alive, and he passed away in 2022. He was 98 years old. He was a World War II vet, and obviously survived World War II. In fact, his ship was the only ship to make it through the Rock of Gibraltar on one of their go-throughs. And another time that he survived in the war, he had gotten thrown in jail for having a fist fight in Italy. And they put him in a jail, and the U.S. bomb raided that town and destroyed the entire jail, killing everybody except for him and his buddies in this one cell. So let me say this again. God intended for my grandfather to live. He comes home a severe alcoholic. A couple months later, after he's home, he gets radically saved in a tent revival. God immediately heals him of his alcoholism, completely. Goes and applies with the Assemblies of God and applies to be a minister, a licensed and ordained, and he pastored for over 70 years. And in his lifetime, built many churches throughout the West Coast, of Mexico, all over the world. He went and built churches, and he worked with many people. He was the pastor of hundreds and thousands of people. And so a lot of people knew my grandfather. So when he passed, we had his graveside memorial there in Ceres, California, and I have heard many graveside messages. Many. I've done them myself. And my father was doing his father's graveside. And my dad was preaching the best graveside message I've ever heard. Ever heard, hands down. We're sitting there, and my dad is talking about how my grandpa lived all these lives for God. And this was life. But as he got older, listen to what I'm about to say. They lost their home because they were just getting too old to be able to live in the house, so they had to move. They lost their home. He ends up losing his wife because my grandma died before him. He lost his church because he ended up retiring. So just in a short amount of time, he loses his home, loses his wife, and loses his church, starts losing his eyesight, he's losing his hearing. And what my dad was trying to tell everybody was, is everybody tries so hard to hold on to this life. We won't take a red cent with us to the grave. And he's talking about how life can be so short at the same time. And guys, he's building this message up, and there's all these people that I don't know, cousins that I don't know, people from the other side of the family that we're not serving God. There's hundreds of us around this grave. And my dad is building this up about life is too short. And right then, these two cars crash like 150 feet from us. Bam! Smoke and fire, and this car goes sliding on its top, spinning, and just turns over. Guys, all of us did like this and looked out at the street, and we're seeing all of this take place. And my dad pauses for a second, and he goes right back into talking. You couldn't have gotten a better illustration of life being too short than that happening right there. And it shook all the people. All of a sudden, everybody was taking off their sunglasses, taking off their hats, unfolding their arms, and tears are flowing down their eyes. And when my dad gave the altar call or the response, all these people were lifting their hands to ask Jesus into their lives. And that's what this is about. That sometimes we get an illustration like that, but other times it really just comes down to that we've got to make up our minds, do I see Jesus as the Son of God? Amen. Trying to hold on to this life, church, eventually it's going to end. And we've got to make up our minds. Guys, and the decision is yours. The Creator himself became creation. This is what your Savior did for me and you. Even after he was stripped and beaten beyond anything we could possibly imagine, his humiliation and his suffering did not end. They laid him on a cross. They drove nails into his hands. They drove nails into his feet. They dropped his cross into a post hole. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They took a spear and pierced his side. And from that cross, he did not shout hurls of insults. He did not curse you. Instead, he declared, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is this God? Who is this Jesus that we serve? That even at the moment of his last breath, he is longing to see you experience life. Matthew 16, look at this, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, here it is, church, but who do you say that I am? I'm asking you the same question. I've asked myself that same question. Who do you say that Jesus is? But Pastor Matt, you don't understand. I've made too many mistakes. I just can't seem to gain any ground in my life. Give me 2 seconds to pass through this. Judas, one of Christ's 12, makes a humongous mistake. He makes a huge mistake. He betrays Jesus because Jesus didn't look like the Messiah he was looking for. And he betrays him for some Roman coin. But Peter also makes a huge mistake. He betrays Jesus on crucifixion day, cussing out a little girl because he doesn't want to be known as one who followed Christ. And here's what I want to say about this. They both made mistakes. They both fell short when Jesus needed them the most. But here's the difference after the mistakes. One chose death and the other chose life. Church, we have all made mistakes. In fact, we're going to continue to make some big mistakes. But we have a choice to make. Do we believe or do we deny? Do we rebel or do we repent? Is he God or is he a lunatic? Will you choose life or will you choose death? The choice is ours. To repent, to believe, and to live. How many of you guys have heard of a girl by the name of Jackie Hill Perry? If you haven't, she was a former lesbian who got radically saved, radically healed, and she has been ministering hardcore to the LGBTQ. And she has a book that she wrote called Gay Girl, Good God. And I want you to see what she wrote in this. This is, I'm paraphrasing this, but she said this right here. That sin is not beautiful. You are not your temptations. You are not alone. And God is better. Everybody say better. And God is better than you could possibly imagine. Isn't that good? Make a deliberate decision today, church, to live. And here's my third and final thought. Celebrate life. Come on. Come on. To choose life, to decide for yourself, and to celebrate life. To celebrate now. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 55. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Somebody give me an amen. Celebrate living with God forever. Here, this is going to come up on the screen for you. I want you guys to capture this with your eyes. God's intention has always been that we would live. Not only that we would live, but that we would live forever. And not only that we would live forever, but that we would live forever with Him. That's huge. You know, listen, there's a lot of things that you can go with in the Bible, and I chose one that I don't know if any of us have ever heard this preached on Easter. I know I have never preached this before. But you find this in the first book of the Bible, and you will find it in the middle of the Bible, and you will find it at the end. And the first part is this, is that it's called the Tree of Life. It was His plan in the beginning, and it will be our eternal reality, the end. Genesis 2:9, look at this. That in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, let me just set this up. God has created everything. And He has given Adam and Eve 99.9% of everything that He's created. And He literally just says, this one tree, leave it alone. Because as long as they eat from the tree of life, we know in the Bible it says that they would have lived forever. But they chose not to. He ruined the whole party for every one of us, right? Well, then what happens is He puts a cherubim in front of the tree and is not going to allow them to get back to it because Scripture says that if they were continued to eat from the tree, that they would have continued to live forever. So that goes away. Garden of Eden is gone. We have no access to it anymore. And then here comes Jesus. And Jesus becomes the tree of life for us. In fact, it speaks of Him as being the vine. Amen? Look at this in John 12, 24. He's talking about Himself. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, that's Him, it remains alone. He's the only one that could do it. But if it dies, it will rise and it will bear much fruit. Isn't that great? So even then, God has made this plan that we would live forever with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now look at this in Revelations 2, 7. The Apostle John sees this vision, and here's what he says to him. To the one who overcomes, the one who decides, makes a deliberate decision about me, I will give access to feast on the fruit of the, what does it say? The tree of life. Revelations 22, 2. And on the other side of the river, this is the New Jerusalem. This is where we'll be with God forever. It says, on either side of the river was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of ripe fruit according to each month of the year. The leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. That right there is telling you that everybody from around this world is going to be up there with God sometime. Sometime soon. And look at this in Revelation 22, 14. Wonderfully blessed are those who wash their robes in white so that they can access what? The tree of life. It has always been God's intention that we would live forever with Him, that we would reign with Christ forever. And when I think of life in Christ, I think of life that knows no bounds. I mean, it has no limits. It has no end. It is powerful, and is it explosive? In January, some of you know this, some of you might not, my wife gave stem cells to her brother, Rich, who was 16 or 17 years older than her. Lori was the only perfect match, and he has a rare form of blood cancer. And so 5 days before she was to give, they started giving her shots. And these shots would basically tell her body, you need to make more stem cells. Well, in that, her body is dying. I mean, it's just aching because inside her bones, in her thighs, in her hips, in her back, and in her sternum, they're just producing mass amounts of stem cells. Well, on the day that we drove up to go to Georgetown, a new thing started happening where it felt like her rib cage was expanding, and she thought she was having a heart attack. So we get there, and we're having a steak dinner that night. She wanted a steak. Obviously, she needed something like that. And she's sitting there, and she goes, "Man, it's happening again." And she couldn't even breathe, and she thought she was having a heart attack. Well, we get there the next day, and these guys put another shot in her. And I'm like, "Guys," and they're like, "No, listen. Out of the human body, when we do this, the places that it makes the most stem cells comes from the hips and the thighs and the sternum. The sternum actually makes more stem cells than any other part of the body." And that's why she felt like she was having a heart attack. Let me just say this. In these pictures right here, my wife is holding the bag of the stem cells, billions of stem cells, that they, in 3 hours, they had flown down to Rich and put that inside his body. Now, guys, let me tell you what's happening here. The amazing thing about, this is such the creative God we serve. The amazing thing about stem cells is you put them in and they know exactly where they're supposed to go. You don't have to tell them. You know, you could put it up in the arm and it's still going to find it to the knee if it needs to. But guys, here's the miracle story is that the stem cells have attached in my brother-in-law's body, Rich, and they are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Amen? And here's the thought. Listen to this. Life was exploding within Lori to be used to save her brother. The day that Jesus stepped out of the tomb, life was exploding from him with enough power to save the entire human race. Come on. The Creator himself, Jesus HaMashiach, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last, name above all names, came and died, and he actually died. And he took his last breath for you and me and for all humanity, and he was put in a tomb. You know, I had somebody one time sit down with me, and they were really upset reading that Jesus didn't have enough money to pay for a tomb. I'm like, dude, what are we arguing about right here? You know, it's like, and here's the reality. Listen, here's the fact, you guys. Jesus had no intention of ever paying for a tomb for something that he was only going to spend 3 days in. That's the reality. And I'm just being honest with you. If Jesus is not who he said he is, and we said this earlier, then this is one big waste of time. But if he did, and I believe he did, I believe he got out of the grave. I believe that he conquered death, that he conquered the grave. I'm proclaiming to you that there's nothing more meaningful, there's nothing more powerful than what he has accomplished. And there is nothing on earth more important than us giving glory to the God who raised his son Jesus up for the entire human race, for all of us. The God who came as a baby, who died on the cross, who rose on the third day, will one day return for his church. Thank you, Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose life. I am making a deliberate decision for Christ this morning. I'm going to have the worship team come on. Can we give our worship team a hand? Powerful. The worship choir, amazing. I'm going to bring this to a close. You guys, listen. I want to say this. I want everybody to hear me say it. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is alive. And I want to encourage you. These points are going to come up one more time for you. Choose life. This is your decision and your decision alone. Celebrate life that you have found in Christ. Romans 8:11 says, yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Resurrection is agairo, and agairo talks about being raised up, to cause to appear. It brings us to life so that all will see and that all will know that he is alive, that he is alive. And my question is will you choose Jesus? From my heart, I'm asking you, I'm imploring you to choose Christ. No more walking in death. To make a deliberate choice for Jesus, because he chose you. He chose you with your greed. He picked you in your addiction. He picked you while you were lying and having a gambling problem. He picked you with your lust problem. He chose you. He justifies you. And he loves you and wants to see you walk in life. Can I give you just a few more scriptures? John 1:4, a fountain of life was in him, for his life is life for all humanity. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray. Put your notes down, put your phones down, and just let me pray this over you. God, thank you for bringing Jesus out of the tomb. Thank you for the truth, the beautiful truth that Jesus has risen from the grave, and it lifts my spirit, it lifts my heart and my soul. Help me live today as if I really believe, that I really believe in the power of the resurrection, that with every part of my life, I am so thankful for Jesus. And with my mouth, I proclaim, he is alive, and I have decided to follow you. Jesus, keep all of your promises. I want to believe this. Help me to show others with my life that I do believe everything that you have said. Help us to trust you more, to obey you more, and mirror you in your words, and increase our ability to stand on your words. Jesus, I love that you allow us to see and decide for ourselves, that we get to choose, that we get to search for you, that you had the angels invite the women to come and see for themselves that you had risen. Jesus, keep inviting me into these personal revelations every day. Forgive me. Forgive me for the times that I chose to not come and see for myself, that it is you, your word, your insights that I long for. Keep inviting me to search your ways and your heart. Jesus, give us the ability to tell your story. Give us opportunities to share your truth. I don't want to hide my faith. I want to be a bold messenger for you, with you, because of you. For I once was lost and dead in my sin, and now because of your love, I have been set free and given a new life. Yes, I am free indeed, and I will live with you for eternity. And I ask this in your precious name. And everybody said amen.